Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, everyone. Michael Anthony here. Van Halen, Chickenfoot, Sammy in the Circle. But anyway, you're listening to the only podcast that is dedicated to breaking down the entire Van Halen catalog one track at a time. And the podcast will rock. Ow!
Hello, baby!
Welcome, all you rockers, rockettes, and everything in between. No discrimination at all, because that's not what we do here on the podcast. And the podcast will rock. We're doing it live once again, because, hey, why not? We have so much fun doing it, and we figured it's about time we do it all the time. I am your co-host, Mark Kamaya. With me, as always, Corey Morissette. Corey, we have got a cavalcade of characters on the show today, and we also just have a crap ton of fun ahead of us, wouldn't you say?
Oh, I've been looking forward to this ever since I pitched the idea back in December. It's David Lee Roth versus Sammy Hagar tonight. We're going to have a lot of fun. I'm going to let you do the introductions as you so often do there, Mr. Kamire. But we got a few people watching. There's a good buddy, Tom. Says, if nobody on the show shouts out when it's 8:05, I don't know what we're doing here. Jonathan you, Todd Tom. In the chat. Yeah, Scott Monroe looking for a cage match tonight. And I don't know, things might get ugly. Good thing we brought in some extra help here tonight. Scott Haskin from the Magicians Podcast also watching here tonight. I think he's still drunk from the last live show we did, Mark. Wow. What was that, an evening? You didn't even make it all the way through.
No. I was about to say it's a wonder any of us are even still sober from that evening. I needed to take a day or two to fully recover. Probably not going to run into those issues tonight, but you never know. The night is young, and we have quite a lineup ready for you all. As you say, it is it's going to be a clash of the titans, this show. This is the show, I think, that even before Corey and I really understood what this show would become, what it even was, I think deep down we knew at some point a showdown was going to come into play, and the showdown has arrived. It's David Lee Roth versus Sammy Hagar. I know we don't like to put these guys up against one another, but we figured, you know, what the hell? There are two camps. There's always two camps of Van Halen fans, the Sammy guys and the David guys. Apologies to Gary. Take a shot, everybody. that's just the way it goes. And thus, we are lucky to have friends and fellow podcasters who also really enjoy being on different sides of the camps. So let's bring them all together and just see what happens. So without further ado, representing the camp of David Lee Roth, from the DLR cast, our friends Darren and Steve, hello. And on the other side of the camp, not to be outdone, representing the Sammy side, from the Bogus Otis Show, our good buddies Darren and Brent, hello everybody. Please make your introductions. Say hello to the people.
Hey now.
Like welcome to the Cabo bolt. Wabo.
Like a lightning bolt in your Cheerios. What's happening? Right?
There's only one way to podcast.
I wonder if Cheerios taste better with a bit of lightning. I don't know. We'll have to consult the experts on that. But look, you guys, we're so happy to have you guys. I cannot wait to see what this show brings about. I'm ready for absolute carnage, or I'm ready for just absolute peace and harmony. Either way, but if it does get a little too chaotic, we brought with us a special, let's call him a referee, in case things get just a little too heated, all right? Our good friends from the Van Halen News Desk, Eric Sinich. How you doing, Eric?
Yes, very serious. No joking tonight. I'm the referee here.
No, not a single joke. Guys?
Yeah, this is my chance to meet for the first time Brent. And also Darren from one. Darren, yeah, Darren.
That's one or Darren two. One. Yeah. This is okay. Darren two.
Yeah, from the bogus
it's like bogus Bewitched Otis all over podcast. Again.
Yeah,
I didn't want to mispronounce the name. It's Paltrowitz. Yes.
Yes, like when
it's 8:05.
Boom.
It's 8:05. Sorry, I had to throw that in there.
So yeah, things could get ugly tonight. So be ready. Be ready. That's what I'm here to police the two sides, because as we know, this gets very ugly, the Sammy versus Dave battle. So I'm ready.
Yeah. So you got the Dave side, which is like fire, and you got the Sammy side, which is like ice, and we're in the middle, kind of like lukewarm water, just like a Derek Smalls from Spinal Tap. Looking forward to this one here tonight. Mark, I love that you're an agent of chaos, and right off the hop, you introduced four people at once and then just said, take it. And then and nobody knows who's supposed to go first.
Well, we get everyone's pleasantries out of the way at the top, just in case things start to boil once we get into the actual nitty gritty of the show. That's all.
Hey, look at that. Kevin Brown is in the chat. Lots of red on my screen right Kevin. Now. Appropriate. And Scott Haskins says, and there isn't even any blood yet. Well, the night is young, my friend. The night
yes,
is young,
exactly.
Yeah. Chaz wants to know, which side of Sammy do you represent? The sunny side, the shady side?
The back side, the front side?
Every side. At all points in between. Yeah.
And as Tom pointed out, it's 8:05, which means it's time to rock.
Yes, it is. It's time to rock. So right at the top of the show, you all are familiar with how we do things. But to those of you joining us live for whatever reason, you maybe just stumbled across it and you don't know what we do here. What we do here on the show is we break down the Van Halen catalog and discography one track at a time. And because we have both the Sammy camp and the David Lee Roth camp, we are going to do two songs. We are going to spin the dreaded or the effervescent, whatever adjective you want to give it, wheel. And the wheel is going to give us both a Sammy tune and a David Lee Roth tune. And if it gives us two of the same thing, we're going to spin it again until we get to one. So that means, this is important, that means when we do spin Pleasure Dome tonight, we're going to have to talk about it, Corey, and you're just going to have to accept it.
Oh, I'm ready for that. And actually, Chaz, I think he was already manifesting spanked because he's a son of a bitch. But the wheel has actually been very kind to us on live shows. You know, we got When It's Love, we got Run Around on the last one. We've had some big cuts. Somebody in the chat, I'm trying to find it here, picked Panama versus Pound Cake, which can't happen because we already did Panama. Pound Cake is still out there.
Yeah.
There was another one who wanted to do Jump versus Right Now. That was Jonathan who also said Jump versus Right Now. That'd be a good one, eh?
That would be. I appreciate your sentiment there, Jonathan. However, I think Corey and I have talked off air about it, maybe even on air, but it just wouldn't it feels more poetic if we got all the way to the end and Jump is the last song that we cover. It probably won't end up that way, but, you know, here's hoping. However, if we do spin Jump tonight, then we'll happily talk about it and we'll discuss. But that is up to the wheel and we're not there yet. While we have him here on the panel, we always like to bust in with some Van Halen news. If anything's going on in the world of Van Halen, and let's just go directly to the source. Eric Sinich, I'm looking at you, man. What have you got for us? You got anything you want to talk about?
Yeah, some really cool stuff. Actually, did you guys from the Bogus Otis podcast talk about and see Sammy's 75th birthday bash, which was streaming? You had to pay for it, though. It was on, it was TMZ. TMZ presents Fox News is who streamed it.
Yeah, I've tried actually Six Ways to Sunday. And the problem is, just like Sammy's rum and tequila, we can't get it up here in Canada.
Geo-blocked.
So,
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Help. Send help, please.
Yeah. We posted that up. Back on January 10, Michael Anthony headlined, is that event's coming up in March. He's headlining on March 25th. And Mark and Corey talked about this in one of your episodes recently. He's headlining a Save the Heartbeat fundraising event and concert in Costa Mesa, California. You can go to VHND to find out more about that. If you're in that area, that'd be a cool show to go see. Dave's been releasing his podcast, season 2. How have you guys been enjoying that?
I know Darren and Steve just did a great podcast, their latest episode of the LR cast. I listened to it today going to work, and they cover that show pretty well. Maybe bring everybody up to speed on what David Lee Roth is doing with his podcast.
Please. Well, he's talking all about his time in Haiti, of course.
Yeah. That's all there is.
Yeah. No, it's interesting because Darren brought up a good point on the DLR cast. It sounds like a lot of my first thought was like, okay, this is all stories that he would put in another book. Maybe he's deciding he's just going to put it all into the podcast. But then as Darren brought up a good point, these are stories that may have already been left out of the original book from 1997, Crazy from the Heat. And now he's telling them. But it's just random stories about his days, really. From so far, I'm just thinking all the stories have been from his adventures in the 80s. I don't know, Steve and Darren, do you guys remember anything from the 90s in there? I mean, everything is pretty much.
Technically, his camping would have been in the 21st century.
Right. Yeah. But he's got one, the last one that he did. It's the girl from the MTV Lost Weekend promo, the girl that's to his right. He ended up going out with for a couple of years, and then he took her out to Haiti with Eddie Anderson, Big Ed, who's been who knows where for many years. Him and Dave, I think, had a falling out, but I don't know.
Yeah. If I can add to that, him and Dave stopped working together maybe 98 or so, and it led to a lawsuit. So we know that the Haiti story is definitely not from the last 20 years.
Yes. Yes. and he said it would have been around 84, 85, because he met her on the set of those commercials that they made for the Lost Weekend. So they're just various stories like that, but he's not talking about anything new. He's not addressing the possible rumors. He did, though, talk about, Darren and Steve, you guys talked about, the recordings, the recent recordings of the Van Halen songs.
Covering his own tunes, Halen, basically.
Right. At Henson
Yeah,
Studios.
That was about as topical as it's got for the most part. I mean, and as usual, nothing about his solo music, which
he didn't talk
always
about.
Drives me nuts.
He didn't talk about the John 5 songs, I don't think, at all.
No, which is
talked about that.
Yet another lost opportunity, but don't get me started.
Yeah, so it's just, you just don't know where he's going to go with it, but they're all short episodes. They're like 25, 30 minutes each, and he's just breaking them up. And
mercifully.
It's Dave being Dave. Yeah, try to keep up, you know?
Dave being Dave. That's a catchphrase that we use on this show quite a bit. And by we, I mean me. I say it.
But the way he tells stories is just like this. He has the most unique voice. You just know instantly it's him, you know?
Yeah.
So well, sometimes.
Tom, you take the coconut, okay? You cut it in half, okay? Take a piece of that. And then what you do is you make it into a fork, okay? And you're going to take... Where's he going with this?
Eric, I am so glad that you picked up on all the okays, because he does that, and then he does the pop culture references in threes. I have not prepared this, but he'll... Dave always knows who the biggest rapper of the moment is.
Yeah.
And then he knows a 1930s movie star. So he'll be like, it doesn't matter if you're Michael Jackson, Annette Funicello, or Tupac. He always does that in the thing. So that's my rant.
Yeah, that's Dave. So check those out. What else is going on? Jazz Obrecht releases, he released a couple of his full audio interviews with Ed from 78 and 79, and those are must listens. Those are from back in the day when Eddie was just becoming known, and you just see what a cool dude he was. So those are up on VHND. What else, guys? What else do we got? Oh, there was a really cool piece of audio from 1985, Eddie and Cheech, from right. Cheech and Chong fame.
That was
pretty cool. They're at this obscure charity gig, and it's a pretty lengthy piece of audio. I think it's like 20-25 minutes, and you hear Ed going off, and this is, as we know, this is when Dave is, I think he's pretty much out by this point, but then you hear Cheech say, or somebody refer to Cheech as Cheech Lee Roth or something. They make some joke,
Cheech Lee Roth.
Yeah. Is there anything we talked a lot about David Lee Roth, we haven't talked a lot about Sammy yet. What do you got going on the Bogus Otis show there, boys?
Well, he's always busy.
Is now a good time to do our wardrobe malfunction?
Sure, let's do it.
I think it is. Why not? Should we do that now?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's do
that. Okay.
Here we go.
Here it is.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I think we misread the paper. I thought we were flipping sides and defending the other side. So we kind of came ready to.
What is this?
Look at that.
Maybe we're.
That's amazing. Yeah. Anyways,
we'll go back to our side now, right?
Oh, wait. Yeah. This is the wardrobe malfunction. Here.
That's the 91 Little Ain't Enough era photo.
Bravo.
Yeah.
Dave leaning forward with the.
All right. That looks better.
All is right in the world now.
That looks better.
Oh, there you go. Look at that.
Look at that.
Sure.
Oh, there, all is right in the world. What do we got here?
Except for, I just saw that there's a Mariano in the chat. So I don't know if all is right in the world. We'll see.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh. Yeah. Have they talked about the hamburger from Better Off Dead yet? What did I miss?
Everything and nothing.
Sorry for that commercial break. Now we have the proper garb.
Look at that, man.
There it is.
Fancy shirts.
Perfect. Yeah. We should talk a little bit about tonight, because we build this as the ultimate grudge match. David versus Sammy. By the end of the night, we are going to definitively prove who the better front man is. Let's start with Darren and Steve in 500 words or less. Why is your guy, your fighter, the best front man?
Oh, wait a minute. Do we need a referee, official ref?
I think we might need a referee, Eric.
Hold on.
I'll go get him.
You know, while he's doing that,
yeah
we're gonna go to the tail of the tape. Here we go, the tail of the tape. David Lee Roth versus Sammy Hagar. Albums, David Lee Roth with Van Halen has 7, Sammy Hagar has 4. Sales, 57 million to 27 million. Number one albums, David had 0, Sammy had 4. Album sales average, 8.12 million for David, 6.75 million for Sammy. So not a big runaway that you would think. Sammy actually kind of closed that gap when you consider how many albums sold per record. So go ahead, Mark.
It's interesting. It's interesting because I think this was my argument in the early, nicely done, Eric. that was my argument in the early days of the show about Sammy versus Roth, and a few of our naysayers called me a liar, and I didn't know what I was talking about, but the numbers are right in front of you, so you know, I'm just throwing that out there.
Delay of game.
No, we got a delay of game.
All right. yellow flag already. All right.
Eric's gonna be throwing flags all night, boys, so make sure you keep it clean, keep it above the belt, right? No low blows. Looking at those numbers, I know all the DLR guys look at that and say, oh, Dave was by far the most successful singer. But how many of those albums were sold after Sammy's popularity in the 80s, right? A lot of people went back and bought the back catalog after 5150, No You 812. So I think that gap's a little more narrow than people think. What do you think, Eric?
We're talking about album sales between the Sammy era and the Dave era? Is that where we're going?
Yeah.
Yeah. the 1978 debut in 1984. No album during the same era eclipsed those sales. Right. I think 5150 was the highest, 6 million. And what was the total number for Sammy Era and total for Dave?
The totals were, let's bring it back.
Bring it back.
27 million for Sammy Hagar, 57 million for David Lee Roth. But the album sales average, 8.12 million for David Lee Roth, 6.75 million for Sammy Hagar.
Is that counting A Different Kind of Truth?
It is, yep.
Oh, that is 7 albums.
But that wouldn't be counting, say, like the Twister soundtrack and compilations. No. A lot of times artists go, I've sold over 100 million albums. It's because they were on soundtracks and comps. Soundtracks,
right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they had the higher charting singles during the Sammy era, I think, overall. They never had a number one with Sammy. They had a number one with Dave. They've had, what is it, diamond selling albums for the first one in 1984.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's hard to beat. That's hard to beat.
And if you compare all Sammy's, soundtracks and themes to date. Oh, no, sorry. Dave turned all those down.
Ooh. Oh. Ooh, no flag on the play. Oh,
no boy. Flag. I'm surprised.
No flag. Yeah, I am too. So this is definitely not the NFL where it's flag football every 3 seconds. So.
It's apples and oranges.
Yeah.
I tell you what, Mariano's not happy. No low blows. Both these frontmen are doomed.
Oh, boy.
He wanted a dirtier fight than we were anticipating. He also says that Sammy looks like Bob from That 70s Show in that picture. I agree.
No, you're blows not wrong. No blows below the belt. No high kicks above the belt.
There you go.
David Lee Roth kicks above the belt.
There it is.
I like that.
Yeah. I like that. Good. Yeah. Tail of the tape. There it is. There are the numbers. And before we get to the wheel, before we get to the meat of the show, Corey, we've got a poll, I think.
From last week. We sure do.
Yeah.
Last week we covered Ice Cream Man, which I thought would have pissed off Darren One and Steve, because that would have been a good one to cover tonight. I thought if we would add Ice Cream Man, but we did it last week. 86% What Dreams Are Made Of, 14% This Dream Is Over, almost 150 votes on that one. So the polls are getting quite popular here. But yeah, overwhelmingly positive for Ice Cream Man.
I mean, I don't see why not. This was one that we thought, how do you not just have a good time listening to this song? And but we knew, we called it. We knew that this would not be a 100% What Dreams Are Made Of, because it never is. Even the songs that we are so sure, there's always going to be a couple of them. And to the credit to some of you voters, you have been letting us know as to why you voted it down. And some of those reasons are warranted, and some of those reasons, okay, that is a choice. Well, whatever.
Did they vote it down just because they've heard it so much? Because that's not fair. Is that what some of them said?
That was the excuse I got on Runaround, was maybe people are voting it down because they've heard it so many times. So that could apply to Ice Cream.
Yeah, I mean, you can't. Which is lame. I don't think you could judge it based on that.
No,
I mean, I've heard Stairway to Heaven a zillion times, but Stairway to Heaven is brilliant. I don't want to hear it anymore. God damn it. I'm sorry, I don't make the rules. No, I do make the rules.
You do make the rules.
What am I talking about? Yep. Got the hat on,
Corey, I'll leave it up to you. We've probably got a bit of a long show, so if you want to skip the comments this time around, or if you want to go through them, whichever.
You know, like you said, we got a long show. We got a lot of panelists on here. I would just recommend everybody go check out that tweet and read some comments. There's some good ones. I know Heath McCoy, a good friend of ours, chimed in. Ryan Powell, Tom Armbruster, Scott Haskin, because he's got nothing better to do. Kevin Brown, again, nothing better to do. No John Mariano in this one, though. Deep Purple Podcast. Oh, we're planning a date for those guys to be on the show. That's going to be a lot of fun. So check that out on our Twitter. I don't think I'll do live polls tonight either, because I ticked off a bunch of people last time around. So we'll just release the polls as the shows come out.
Yeah. And to quote Mariano, if you voted against Ice Cream Man, you're out of the cult. So just throwing that out there for him. So there it is.
That's
right. And then Tom thought the point of the cult was to downvote in the polls. And he says, no, the point of a cult is to follow him blindly. So
you heard it there from the horse's mouth.
Stay wild, try the Kool-Aid. There you go.
Yeah. So there you go. Okay. Yeah. Go to the Rockin' polls. Check that out. Check out what everyone had to say and cast your vote if you didn't vote already. So without further ado, gentlemen, Are you ready?
Let's do it.
We have a drum. Are we drum rolling?
Ready to rumble.
I just wanted to hear some enthusiasm, and that'll do. Let's see.
Steve's got that Roth scream. He can do that.
But of course, I say, are you ready? And yes. Thank you. You
did. That was Steve.
And yet we can't. We can't spin it just yet because one, Corey's still got to prime it. But two, I have to ask. We are here. It's Sammy versus Dave. Finally, the ultimate showdown. You're all here from your respected podcasts talking about a particular era of this band. But I have to ask, what song are you trying to manifest tonight? Or I guess it'll be songs later. But for now, just the one song. I'm going to throw it to you, Darren Bristos, for Bogus Otis Show. What song do you want to manifest for the wheel tonight? And I'm assuming you're going to vote for your Sammy song.
I'll do a Sammy song. And I was checking. I don't think you guys have done this one yet. So correct me if I'm wrong, but I'd be happy to hear 5150.
We have not done that one yet, and that is a popular one. When I put it out there on Twitter, which we manifest, 5150 by far was the most requested Sammy song. Yeah.
Well, there you go. All right. We got one for 5150. Brent
Shut up, Chaz. Chaz says spank, spank, spank. I don't like him anymore. Only Chaz.
Brent, what say you?
So just to be clear, I cannot vote for How Many Say I? Is that right?
No,
that
you absolutely cannot.
It is on the wheel.
We're never going back.
Okay, well then I guess my second choice would be I would like to manifest my have you done Mine All Mine?
Yeah.
Mine All Mine? Yes.
I think we did. Oh, yes.
Yeah, great tune. Love
we only got like one track left off of OU 812, I believe it's Black and Blue.
Come on. How about I'm gonna go Feeling off Balance. Feeling.
Ooh, okay.
Ooh. Yeah. Nice. Coming in hot. All right. Is a deep track. All right, so from the other end of the spectrum there, we'll go ahead and call the shot there. Darren Palchowicz, what song do you want to manifest, presumably from the Roth era?
Oh, because you've already done Up for Breakfast. I just basically like to get anything from A Different Kind of Truth, because I haven't heard it for a while, because good old Dave, his business dealings, for some reason, it's not on Spotify now.
No.
Not on iTunes either.
So weird. Yeah.
It's quite tricky. So just any song from that album?
Any song from that album.
All right. A broad category. I dig it. Stephen Roth, how about you?
I'm afraid I'm going to mention a song. Forgive me for my Dave-like attention deficit disorder here, but I'm afraid I might mention a song you already did. Actually, I was going to bring up, if you were going to reverse it, I was going to say, I was going to tell you a Sammy song, but I'll tell you, Dave era, I love Fair Warning. I love Hear About It Later. Mm-hmm. And Drop Dead Legs. Just, you know, there's songs that I will never tire of in the Van Halen catalog, and that's two of them.
Did you do one or both of those guys
again? Forgive me.
Drop Dead Legs we did, but we haven't done Hear About It Later. I've been calling for that one for a little
man,
bit here.
I think that's one that some people might forget its greatness.
Yeah, that Steve, you guys have all of Dave's high screams to start your show. I think you've got that one in there, right? Because Dave goes way up on that one at the end of Hear About
It. yeah
the classic Dave scream.
All right. And you know what? I'll go ahead and ask Eric, how about you for this first spin? What you can you have the benefit. You can choose any era you want.
All right. Corey and I discussed this backstage off the air with the brown M&Ms removed. And we said that we want, for God's sakes, this is probably the 100th time I've requested and manifested one. Humans Being. It's got to happen.
Corey, not absolutely great choice.
Great choice. Great song. One of my faves.
Yeah.
Sammy era fave for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Gotta do it. So again, that's one I've been waiting for a while.
You and me both. So I'm going to echo that sentiment because, you know, why not? So, Corey, what say you for this first round?
Oh, what Eric and I talked about was combining our manifesting powers because out of everybody on the panel, three times, people have called their shot and got it. Eric wants me twice. So we're going to combine our powers. Humans Being for a Sammy track. I also picked the Dave track because we're kind of in the middle. I would love to hear. Actually, I know you said for the last show, but kind of feeling some jump here tonight. I think this is a good panel to break down Van Halen's biggest hit?
Well, it certainly would. I mean, wouldn't that be something if we spun Humans Being and Jump? It's talk about just really, really going for it. We'll see how that goes. But all right. You know what? I'm going to combine the power of Humans Being as well, because I've been asking. I've been wanting it. I've been wanting to hear it. But then I'm also going to throw in the song that, again, I have been wanting to hear. And for some reason, the wheel just says, nah, ain't talking about love for the David Lee Roth track. Like, come on, man.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
It makes me happy. It's a great track. I would love to hear it. Eventually we will, but why not on a show like tonight? So there it is.
Should I have picked a Dave song too?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. We got to pick one from each era.
Okay. You're impartial tonight. So
yeah.
From the Dave era that hasn't been picked. All right. No, Cathedral's good, but no, I want to go with oh man.
It's only a 2-hour show, Eric. Come on.
No, I know, no.
The 1984 intro. Dave does have a co-write on it if you look through ASCAP.
Oh, very fascinating. I like that. I'm thinking I want to go with something from Women and Children First. Like I'm trying to think, what did you do from Women and Children First? So far,
good question. Oh, we did almost the entire second side of Women and Children First.
Yeah.
Did you do okay? Though you did almost first side, so you may have already done Romeo Delight. Did you do Romeo?
No,
Delight?
We have not done Romeo.
Okay, Romeo Delight. That's the
you
one.
You and a lot of people, or there's at least one or two other people in the chat asking for Romeo Delight. Romeo Delight.
So, a lot of votes for Romeo Delight.
Okay, but there you go.
Well, there you go. There you go. The manifestations, at least the first ones, have been made. We are now, I think, ready. If the wheel is primed, Corey, I know I'm ready. Everyone on the panel is ready. Are you ready? Is Sammy ready in the back?
Oh, I'm getting there. I just need a minute. I got a lot of things going on right now.
Yeah, he does. We're gearing up, you guys. This is a big show. It's a big panel.
Here we go, round and round. Oh, no. I was going to do it.
Well done. I
was
appreciate
let you
that.
Keep going. Yeah, just keep going.
First, I gotta shuffle the wheel. There's seven of us on the panel, so I'm gonna get shuffled seven times. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7.
All right.
All right. Let me find my sound clip.
Here we go.
Oh, it's almost. Oh, I thought we were going to get Pound Cake. Instead, we're getting an unreleased track from Van Halen 3. That does my not God. Count. That does not
that
count.
Doesn't
That's
count.
A Gary song.
Nope, it doesn't
That's,
count. Sorry.
Wow.
Again, apologies.
You had
Gary,
that in
take
there?
A shot.
Yeah. So that stays on the wheel. Sammy's got to warm up those pipes again. He's going to get tired if we're going to keep rolling Van Halen 3 songs. Let's
nah,
try
he's
it
a
one
professional.
More time.
He can do it.
That's the one Mitch Malloy
here
sang.
We go
think of times it's fine.
Take two, we're coming down to. Oh. Where have all the good times gone from Diver Down?
Another Diver Down tune.
Okay. That is our Dave track for the evening. Eric, tell us about Where Have All the Good Times Gone?
Kinks cover, opening track from Diver Down, 1982. Van Halen, actually, they covered, that might have been, obviously they covered You Really Got Me. Was that one? There might have been another King song they did too from the club days. But that's pretty much the brief overview of that one. It's one of the many covers on Diver Down that Eddie was not a fan of. But interesting though, it's not like your typical hit single. The choice was pretty interesting. So a lot of people didn't even know it was a cover, you know, unless you really knew your Kinks history.
Mm. Do we have any hardcore Kinks fans on the panel?
I like the Kinks.
There we go.
I was one of those folks. 1982. I did not know it was a Kinks song. Being a sophomore in high school, I think it's a great album opener, though. I'll tell you that. You dropped the needle on that when I first got it. I was like, totally, you know, fell in love with that riff right away.
Yep.
Then I saw the credits and went, "Hey, isn't it the same guys who wrote the song on Van Halen 1?" You know, so back in high school, Ken came around full circle.
Right on.
And may I'm out of line for saying this because I'm on the Sammy side, but Little Guitars is, you know, that could be its own album right there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all right. Yeah. It's all right to admit that.
Kevin there's says, an interesting
another DLR cover. And then Jonathan says, spin again, no covers. He says no covets.
No covets.
Yeah, we're not coveting anything here.
Todd from Buck Cherry, right?
Yeah.
No. Apparently Kevin Brown is a huge Kings fan, so it's ironic that he's not on the panel with us tonight.
But he's watching. He'll be chiming in the chat because Kevin loves to talk. But Darren too. The second Darren from Bewitched, you're on the DLR cast. What is your thought on Diver Down and on this track?
I like it. It's fine, but it's not one of my 15 favorite Van Halen songs. Probably not one of my 25 favorite Van Halen songs, but it's good. I mean, Bad Van Halen is still pretty good.
Well, we thought that too. And then Van Halen 3 hit. Well, we're not going to talk about that.
Fine. Many say, come on.
I'll tell you, it's the only cover I like to still listen to from Diver Down.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, Pretty Woman, right? I mean, well, Dancing Straight still dig, but Pretty Woman I long ago kind of got tired of. Just, you know, there's just some songs you just, you know.
All right. I want to get the thoughts on the panel on this, because I got some people, I'm not going to single you out, Jonathan, bitching that we should spin again, because it's not fair, because this is a cover song, and we can't adequately compare David Lee Roth's lyrics to Sammy Hagar's lyrics.
Yeah.
So is that semantics at this point, or do you guys want to spin again?
Whatever makes the people happy. Whatever.
I vote to spin again. I mean, Dave's customer is always table, okay. Right.
Okay.
Customer.
Yeah, that's
always
fair. Right. I mean, I'd give some props. You know, Darren and Steve have said a couple of we've heard you guys say on two of your episodes, you're happy that the Bogus Otis guys don't hate you. We can't hate anybody. we love everyone. And honestly, I love Diver Down. To me, it's as much as there's some darker stuff on there, like Full Bug is a bit of a dark tune. To me, Diver Down is kind of an upbeat, happy album, and that's what Darren and I talk about all the time with the Sammy era stuff, right? Those albums are
happy Van Halen.
They're happy. Yeah, I love Diver Down.
So you know, John Mariano says, if this is WWE, we'd be chanting bullshit on that spin. So pretty unanimous in the chat.
WWE, however, yeah, it is pretty unanimous. And I am inclined to, even though I'm the one who's just like, no, we can't destroy the integrity of the show, I'm going to agree. It's a cover. It's semantics. So, yes, I think we absolutely should spin again.
All right. So
let's hope for Intruder this time.
Okay, for the I gotta make sure I got
for the third time's a charm.
Man, we're gonna be spinning this dumb thing all night here.
If it's another cover, I'm just gonna laugh.
It's okay. Every time the wheel spins, we get to hear Run Around, so that's cool.
Yeah. Yes.
Every time the wheel spins, an angel gets his wings. Here we go.
Here we go.
No whammies, no whammies.
Good luck. Yes.
Oh, what did I say?
Oh my god!
What did I say?
There it is.
Come on.
Goodness.
There it is.
Wow. There it is.
Man.
Well,
there it is.
How about that?
Well, there goes a fair fight between Sammy and Dave, because what the heck is going to match up to Jump?
Oh, no. There's some clunker lyrics in Jump.
It's fixed.
There are some real
we'll get to it.
Lyrics. Don't worry.
I don't know that we need to really say too much at the top before we start playing the song, because I want to save it until we actually start listening to it, hearing what Dave is saying, listening to the music, and then we can chime in and just, you know, have a brawl between us all.
Tell you what, the chat is very happy. Tom points out, you're not destroying the integrity. You're holding to the premise of the special episode. So there you go.
It is. Then, yes. No, thank you, Dave. Tom.
Yeah. Woohoo. A lot of happy guys. Sweep the keg, Dave. Okay. Mariano, maybe a keg deep at this point. I don't know. Jonathan says, now we have a show, as if it sucked up to this point. But now that we got Jeff,
it was
now
all, it was all garbage until now. Yeah. So yeah, that's fine. Fair.
Yeah,
but
look at that. Three manifests now in however many shows we've done here. 62, 63 we're on. So
yep. head to your local casino and you, may the odds be ever in your favor. So
there's some people who are not fans. I'll come back for the next hour. Out.
Yeah, well, people that don't like it. Sorry, Rava Flav. That
Rava Flav. Look up my interview with Flavor Flav from last week on YouTube. I think you'll enjoy it.
Free plug.
Yeah. There's, like I said, there's not a lot to really say at the top of, because it's Jump. This is arguably
classic.
No, it's not arguably. This is their most famous song. So, I mean, Eric, you would agree with that. Yeah, you're the expert. I'm not an expert.
I love Jump.
Manifest with Two Mulligans deserves an asterisk. Fuck you, John. Does not. I'm the home run king.
You are. You're the Babe Ruth of podcasts there.
That's
Corey.
Right.
Yeah, I love Jump, man. Jump is just encompasses all that is great about Van Halen, if you include the video.
Well,
you got Dave doing his visual, all the acrobatic moves that he did. And that video sent it to number one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a thing, you kids listening out there, there are these things called music videos. They weren't on YouTube. We had to actually watch them on TV because MTV actually did that. MTV used to stand for music television. And you see these music videos, that's how we got wind of so many songs and the corny videos that would accompany them. Video, however, is very fun. We all know Jump. We're all, I think, ready to talk about it. Fighters to your corners, tighten up your gloves, and let's just get ready to just take a whack at it. Corey, whenever you're ready, let's do the thing.
All right, here we go. All right, let's go around the horn. What do we think about that intro? Let's start with Darren Paltrowitz.
Great intro, although total sidebar here. I've heard, and I've never done this before, if you can get the isolated guitar track, it's out of tune from the rest of the track. Has anyone heard that before?
Yep.
Okay.
Yes, I have.
No. Interesting.
Yeah.
Darren.
Like Christy Brinkley says, I love this song on Glee.
I was today years old when I learned this song was on Glee.
Yep, me too. I'm old. I don't know what that show is.
It's just a thing that happened and it went away. It's never coming back.
Martha.
Yeah, Scott's going all the way back. We get Martha quit on the show. I've tried. Yeah. I reached out to her. She never got back to me. But
that's Kevin great Brown. That you tried. I love it.
Oh, why not? Wayne Gretzky said you miss 100% of the shots you don't take, right?
So yeah. Kevin, the drum man. Yeah, drums do sound good, man. Favorite part of the song, drumming wise, is during the solo. Yep. During that solo.
Gary says this song has keyboards. Eddie Trunk is triggered.
Everybody's triggered.
Eddie Trunk. I interviewed Sammy, my friend Sammy. I had him on the Trunk Nation. I know Michael Anthony.
Nice.
All right. We got to hear from the Bogus Otis boys. You obviously aren't opposed to keyboards because they were prevalent during the Sammy era. What do you think of the intro to Jump?
Well, I like the keyboards. I'm a big guitar player, and I like the keyboards because they have a guitar. They have the Brown sound on the keyboard, so I love the.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites.
So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
The grittiness of the keyboard sound that Eddie dialed in for this.
Yeah, you know, I think when we were on with you guys last time, our song was "I'll Wait," and we talked a lot about Alex's drum sound on "I'll Wait." And for me, you know, what I'm about to say, there's probably going to be some people on the internet that want to crucify me for saying this, but I almost feel like much of 1984 as an entire album is an Alex Van Halen drum sound album, almost even more than Eddie's guitars in some places. I mean, you think about the intros to "Drop Dead Legs," "Hot for Teacher," "I'll Wait," "Girl Gone Bad," and "Jump" for sure. I mean, the drums to me is just, it's drums, drums, drums.
Man, great point. Yeah. So true.
And before we went to the Lynn drums, right? Like a real drum sounds here, right?
Yeah. The total Brown sound.
Not surprising, because Ed had complete control. This was recorded at his studio, and you know how he felt about Al. So
John Mariano would like to know from our experts here on the panel, how does the Brown sound relate to the Brown note? His music knowledge is sorely lacking. Eric, your thoughts.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
I'll let you guys take this one.
Is he going to go here? I'm the referee. I'm supposed to be neutral, but John. Man. See, people don't like it because of the keyboards. They want to hear Ed, you know, rocking on the guitar, which is what Ted Templeman and Dave was saying. Dave used to say, "You're a guitar hero, kid." But Ed talked about the story, you know, "You're a guitar hero, kid." But Ed was a musician. He was tinkering around with the keyboards as far back as like 79 or 80. I think he was messing around with this on the tour bus around 79 or 80, possibly that far back.
1 foot out the door.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. How fun was it to see Eddie behind the keys on Live Without a Net in the 5150 tour, right? Yeah. He's a guitar god. Yeah, no one's going to argue that. But it was different, and it was cool, and he looked like he was having just as much fun.
That's what I was going to say. You're right. He was having the time. He was having a blast.
Yeah.
So it was nobody's idea but Ed's. Nobody else wanted to do it. It's not like nobody put a gun to his head and said, "Play keyboards." This is what he wanted to do. And it's really the gateway to what was coming next during the Sammy era. And as you guys know, being Sammy fans, Sammy has been insistent on this. He's basically saying, "Look, I'm not the one who told Ed to play keyboards. This was stuff that he would come to me with." He was playing keyboards at the time, and I'd lay down the lyrics and the vocals on it. But that's where Ed was at that time.
And going back to, you know, the Brown sound of the keyboard, I mean, a lot of bands that released after 1984 came out, a lot of rock bands at that time flew to having keyboards in their songs. And I feel like 1984 is the keyboard sound has, you know, stood the test of time when compared to some of those other bands that started adding keyboards. I feel like the sound that they got it's aged a lot better than some of the other bands, in my opinion.
I'll tell you that the opening, couple things. "Jump" is one of those songs where I'm sure for you guys too. I mean, I can remember exactly where I was the first time I heard that. That would be in the back room of an Arby's while I was messing around with some beef and cheddar experiments, but that's a whole other story. in Long Island of all places. And that's true. However, this is one of those songs where it is so classic, man. As soon as it jumps out at you, and this occurred to me too. That opening comes at you so quick. If you're a radio DJ, and for so many people at radio, this is the top 40, because this thing just exploded. You could not fuck around with that opening. You couldn't, you know, all of a sudden suddenly start talking over and say, "Traffic coming up on the nines next on Big Hit 103 or whatever."
Hit,
you know,
the post. No way.
Exactly, man. You had to fucking nail it with this song, because the keyboards, you know, were instantaneous, right? It grabbed you immediately. Those drums were just explosive. The scream, you know. It just launches.
Yeah, you know, Steve, the kind of what you're saying, you remember exactly where you were. And I think every time you heard the song since then, if you're sitting down, the second you hear that keyboard intro, you want to get up and dance or move or jump, right?
100%.
Yeah.
That's why you always hear it at a sporting event live. Somebody, like, at some point during a game, you're going to hear "Jump," even if it's just the intro or a little part of the chorus, something. Inevitably, you're going to hear it, because it does make you want to get up and just, yes.
Classic 80s rock tune.
That's right. I get up. All right, Sammy boys, here's your chance to take a shot at David Lee Roth lyrics. What did we think of that first verse?
Go, Darren, go.
I don't mind it. I don't mind. It's definitely not his best, but it kind of fits the lightheartedness, kind of breezy of the tune. So I kind of, I'm listening to them, but I'm not listening at the same time.
David Lee Roth, guys, your chance to respond.
The lyrics are fine up until that point. You asked the Sammy guys on the wrong verse, what do you think of the lyrics? The first verse is totally acceptable.
I think it's fair to say that, I mean, Roth is he's a brilliant lyricist, and we're not even going to go down the path of Sammy's lyrics until we get to our Sammy tune, because everybody likes to beat him up for a bunch of different lyrics. But for me, Jump lyrically is certainly not Dave's finest moment from start to finish. I mean, it fits, but Jump is Jump because of the music. I mean, he's got so many brilliant rhymes and pieces of his lyric writing, and Jump is it's not one of them.
I'll tell you this. Listen, this is no name your other Van Halen song here with there's no Drop Dead Legs, let's say, or Top Jimmy, right, with this great story. But that, to me, the lyrics are perfect, and for what this song is, and they match perfectly with the upbeat sound. And that first verse there, that's like a little motivational speech right there, right? I mean, you got it tough. I've seen the toughest around. Just, you know what I'm saying? It's like you're ready to go as soon as you hear this thing.
It's back to Mark's point about every sporting event you've ever been to in an arena or a stadium. It absolutely fits getting everybody hyped and pumped up for sure.
All right, here's our first trivia question for the night, gentlemen. And I expect the DLR cast boys to know this right off the hop. Rolling Stone ranked Jump on their updated list of the 500 greatest songs of all time. What number is it on that list? Because it's a slam dunk for the DLR cast, let's start with Steve Roth. Steve, what number on Rolling Stone's 500 greatest songs of all time is Jump?
Man, I want to say, if I recall, and I'm going to be wrong because usually I try not to pay too much attention to Rolling Stone, but I think this was like somewhere like 11 or 12.
11 or 12 of the 500 greatest songs of all time. Okay. Let's go. Let's pick one of the Sammy boys here. Let's go with Darren.
I'm going to say it's above 250 somewhere.
Above 250. Way to take a stand, my friend. Darren Paltrowitz, what do you think?
Is this like The Price is Right, where you win by guessing under the amount, but you get over?
We always play Price is Right rules. Yeah. You have to get closest to the actual number without going over.
Yeah.
So Steve said 12, so I'm going to say 13.
13, there
we're
you
both,
go. Good
I think
strategy.
We're both out of our minds.
Yeah. Brent.
I'm going to put it in number 99.
99. All right. Eric Senich.
111.
111. And Mark Kammeyer.
As far as like greatest of all time songs, what number?
But try to think from Rolling Stone's perspective.
Yeah. So hit yourself in the head a few hundred times and then guess.
Yeah. I'm gonna say eight.
Eight. Ooh, eight. Well, I'll tell you what. Eric Senich wins this round. The correct number is 177.
Oh, wow. Well, I knew it. 77. I gave him too much credit, the Rolling
Stone.
Yeah,
I knew it.
That's my bad.
Yeah, they yeah. That's Rolling Stone, yeah.
Oh, God. Mariano's comparing the song to A Man in Motion.
Oof.
Not good.
Ooh.
All right, let's keep going.
Quick comment on that, just that whole dun, 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 dun. It's so cool, man. It just drives the song along, inspired by the Hall & Oates Kiss on my list. Eddie even said that to
Daryl. Fun fact.
Almost potential Van Halen singer, Daryl Hall. That's right.
Yeah.
Jump, jump, might as well jump.
What does that mean?
Which part? You don't, you won't.
You won't, you say you don't know. You won't know until you begin. Like, begin what?
Listen, this is the Dave mentality, you know?
I'm just trying to stir the pot a little.
It's lead with your face. Lead with Dave your face. Say. It's potential disaster. Go for it. You never know what's going to happen unless you try.
He's seen the toughest all around, but he's worse that you've seen. That's why I said you asked the wrong time of what are the lyrics? How do you think of them so far? Oh, they're fine. Get to the second verse.
My I'll tell you, my favorite lyric, though, in the whole song, this is going to sound crazy, the one I always love to sing and yell out, is that part out. Are you? Who said that? Baby, how you been? I mean, it's just, you know what I mean? It's almost like it's off the cuff. He it's funny. Himself. You can hear a little dig. Exactly. That's the other thing. Like,
who said that? How you been?
Nobody said anything. I kid you not.
That is my favorite. Those are my favorite lyrics in the song.
Those are little Dave moments.
Exactly.
Those Rothisms.
The treatment of that line fits perfect with the music video too, right? The way they did it was pretty cool. Yeah. This lyric to me is kind of see here. I'm supposed to be defending Sammy, and here I am. I'm doing it again. But this is kind of like the old "Only time will tell if you can stand the test of time," right? Like it just. I don't know.
See, I I'm the ref though. I have to. I'm sorry. Yeah, I can't give my opinion. I think it's totally different. I think it's a mindset. Whereas a Sammy was only time will tell if you stand the test of time is not a mindset. Jump is go for it. You know, that's to me, the lyrics are, they're simpler than some of the other Dave lyrics, especially as we get into the future lyrics, different kind of truth where he's really, you know, mixing it up with the words. But I just think it's great. There's videos where Dave talks about it, the whole theory behind the lyrics.
That's you know what? You know what though, Erica? You said that you're not allowed to have an opinion because you're the referee. That I disagree with, because if anybody watched Wild Card Weekend, the refs had their opinion all weekend long.
That's right. Good call.
That's right. And
good call.
Yeah, I got to make sure I cover the spread, so I might call a few penalties if I have to.
Well, I tell you what, there was some talk in the chat about that flat-sounding guitar, that out-of-tune guitar, and Chaz points out his guitar was tuned flatter than flat because of how hard he bent strings, even just fingering chords.
All right. Alex doing the little cool stuff, the little just little accents on the cymbals.
Yeah. In the chorus, Alex's drum pattern is 1-2-3, 1-2-3. David Lee Roth's timing with the lyrics are brilliant with the cadence of "Why can't you see me standing here with my back against the record machine?" Good comment there.
And cool. What's a record machine?
Yeah, that would be a jukebox.
I was just gonna ask that. What's that even mean?
Jukebox just doesn't fit into the phrasing of the lyrics quite as well as record machine. Which, all right.
Plus, well, some songs have the word jukebox in it.
Yes. Yeah. No, I know what it rhymes with, Corey.
you got to think like a songwriter, Mark. You're not a songwriter, so you wouldn't know. But
no, I can't think like a songwriter.
See what I mean? Record machine. You see?
Ah. You might as well just jump. Just jump. Go ahead.
I'm going to jump. Can't you see me standing here? I got my back against the record machine. I ain't the worst that you've seen. Can't you see what I
mean? Ow, might as well jump. Okay, so I'm going to jump in here. So. Yes. This is where I feel like when Dave was writing this song, he didn't really future-proof himself, because every time I've seen him sing that line, he never hits it. He's either flat himself or he's sharp on that line. Whereas Sammy, because he's now reaching to like Sammy territory with that note. So I feel like whenever you see him play the song live, he never gets that part right.
Agreed.
Yeah.
You are right, there. Chaz has a point here. He says David was referring to the record industry. Van Halen experts, is that true? I never do that.
With the record machine part? Is that what
it is? Yeah, the record machine part. Can you see me standing here? I got my back against the record machine.
That makes sense, but it's kind of hard to like pick on the man when you are the man, which Van Halen was at that point.
You're the number one band in the world, and the world's out to get you.
I see the interpretation you went for there, Chaz, but I'm not quite sure it's there. But, you know, good on you for trying to figure that one out.
Tom points out there's a lot of things Dave never got right live. So there's a shot across the bow.
Hey now.
Wow.
Eric's reaching for the flag, but no, it's not coming out.
Nope.
Right now, someone mentioned 1984 really is an Alex Van Halen album. It really is, and I was really listening to Alex in that section there. Fan-fucking-tastic. Yeah. I know we got some fellow drummers in the chat who I'm sure are gonna chime in, but for the first time in a long time, I was listening to Eddie on the keyboard or on the guitar. I was listening to Alex, and he was killing it.
And when he really was, right? I mean, the cymbal work in there and the odd and off on and off rhythms, and you know, I mean, that song could have been something so simpler for any other band, just, you know, an easy rhythm underneath the solo, but he's in a bunch of different directions, yet it works, right? I mean, just, I was really listening to it too, and always reminds me of that it's just this weird back and forth kind of ping pongy sort of work there, right? But it all fits perfectly.
Yeah, I mean, everybody always goes to the guitar solo in a song, and you rarely hear of a drum solo in a song. Excuse me. The only drum solo moments are at live shows, and that's when you go get another beer, right? When the drum solo is happening, but this is like, it's a drum solo in this song, and it's freaking amazing.
And it's recorded like so perfectly. Yeah. It sounds amazing, right?
Yeah.
If I can say a not nice oriented thing at Dave right here, if you saw him,
can we timestamp this right now? Because Dave is about to say something.
Yes. And go.
Yeah. You know, 9:59 p.m. Suspicious packages in the next couple of days, because we know he already doesn't like me. But that part of the song, which is so epic because it's Alex showing off in a cool way, Eddie showing off on two instruments in a cool way, that was when Dave from the early 2000s forward live would be doing his kendo stick demonstration part, which I guess is supposed to take away from how special everyone and everything else is. Is that a coincidence or was that strategy?
I think when you're the front man, you got to be out at, you know, it's your act, it's your bill, right? You got to be up front all the time, I guess. I mean, I can't imagine now him. I could never imagine him leaving the stage during that part and just, you know, having guys that 90% of the audience don't know at this point, right? Unfortunately.
Yeah. I love this comment here from our good friend Rava Flav. I just got to jump here quick. My lovely bride, who heard me listening to the show, just yelled to me, "Hey, jump. That's the only song I like from that band."
You know, that actually.
Bride European, that would explain it. Europeans only know jump usually.
That actually reminds me, though, I've known people who just, you know, passing rock fan, not really past, you know, women is in particular, a few women who never really liked Dave's voice, but they'll say, I love that song. I love his voice on that song. Go figure. It's bright and airy and upbeat, and that sounds like a commercial for a room freshener or something, I'm sure. But you know,
a couple interesting. Correct though, the piecing together of the solo. They're two.
Right.
Yeah, Ed and Dom Andy.
Yeah, once you hear that, you can't unhear it, right?
Yeah.
I always remember from the music video. There's a couple of interesting little tidbits, and I can remember during the that kind of keyboard solo piece, someone said years ago that if you look really closely at the top of Eddie's keyboards, there's like a thick layer of dust across the top of it, and it's almost like a bit of a metaphor for you know, maybe nobody else wanted him playing them, so they were stuck in the corner and they just got yanked out for the video and covered in dust or something. I don't know.
Interesting.
The comment that was made a minute ago too about this guy's wife saying, I hear jump in the background, and that's the only, so there's some similarities here because when my wife and I first met, and one of the first things she got to know about me was my obsession with the band Van Halen. And she at the time actually said Jump was like the only song or thing that she knew about Van Halen. So I think this is a very, it's a very similar story for a lot of us for sure.
Absolutely. I wanted to go back to this comment here because Gary says, I'm a 54-year-old 100% heterosexual male saying that Eddie's smile in this video is fucking epic.
Right on. How could it's infectious, man. How can you not get happy looking at that smile, right?
Yeah. But seriously, how fucked up was Eddie during that video shoot? The smile is there, but you look in his eyes and that hamster ain't on the wheel. Smoking something in the corner.
That smile kind of reminds me of Jess Spicoli during certain parts of Fast Times at Ridgemont High, you know? Hey, you know, and who are the musicians in the room here, if anyone?
I try.
Well, one of you guys probably know this, but I always wondered, and I looked this up a long time ago, but I always wondered, you know, there's something that sounds different in my ears, and that's because the solo is in a different key than the rest of the song.
Yeah.
Yep. Which, until I, you know, that sounds different. You know,
but Eddie always said,
normal,
man,
natural thing, but to me,
it sounds awesome. Good.
Modulation, good, right? And then it goes back to it. Yeah, it's a not uncommon, but I guess for rock music, it's sort of sounds like it comes out of left field. But Eddie, being Eddie, knows what he's doing. He understands, you know, his theory. He understands what's going to fit, and this solo fits like a glove.
Which reminds me, I always love the fact that he complains that he can't count. Right. He used to complain in interviews. I can't count. I can't count in a song. I got to look at Alex. I can't, you know, but I'm sure there's some exaggeration there, but his, you know, in his mind is just so, I always thought it was so, you know, took place in, he was almost like a Brian Wilson of rock. Right. I mean, it was just like, he was hearing things people didn't hear. And that's one of the weird reasons. That's why I think for like so many other bands, you hear a band try to cover a Van Halen song, they're never even going to come close.
Yep. That's right. A couple more comments before we get back.
Especially when they're Dave.
I walked right into. That's like walking into a rake, right?
Steve. I had to say it.
Darren hits with the right cross. Let's go back to the comments. Gary says, Rainbow Flav, she's got to have some other quality you like. And so Rainbow Flav said, Gary, she bought me a bottle of 23-year-old Pappy Van Winkle for my birthday. She's a keeper. Here's a good comment. Is that the only Eddie keyboard solo that sounds like he's playing guitar on keyboards? The tapping like runs, the phrasing and the structure feel like one of his guitar solos.
Yeah, good point. Yeah.
I think so. I mean, it's certainly none of the other keyboard solos really stand out. Well, I don't know. I'm blanking. Please feel
free.
The main
riff to Right Now, obviously it's not the solo.
Oh, the,
that's shredding.
Yeah. You know, and if you see in the video for Jump, when you see him doing the last part in the video, he's actually using the same, like his fingering and his pattern of his fingers that he's playing is like the same thing he does on the guitar, but on the keyboard.
Yeah.
You know, right when the keyboard solo ends, it kind of builds to a crescendo and then kind of just like, I guess the only way I can describe it, kind of comes in for a landing almost, you know what I mean? Where it's like, and there was always something to me that, and I have no idea if it's even close to it, but there was almost like a classical music, like you could see a conductor almost, you know, like we're bringing it, you know what I mean? It just comes to a perfect close, just the way it does. And I've always, man, Alex's cymbal work, there's just a sheen to it. I know I've talked about this before where, you know, whether he's riding or just it, he fills so much space. There's never an emptiness. Does that, if that makes any sense, you know, and especially, you know, even though a keyboard sound is so thick, whereas if there was no keyboard, it's just the, you know, it's just a guitar and a bass. He fills so much space and sound.
I think the only time that song's ever been played with an orchestra would be 2004, Dave, July 4.
With the Boston,
Boston Pops. Right.
Go check that out on YouTube. Yeah.
Yeah. Jonathan pointed out during that video, Eddie probably had some Krell.
Yeah.
Longtime Van Halen fans know what that means. Yeah. Absolutely. Chaz says he sensed time. He didn't count it. He's like a Jedi.
There you go.
I'd never listened to anything else. He said the only album he ever bought was a band called Brand X.
And Kevin Brown says all his keyboard parts are played like a guitarist, not a keyboard player. That's why they're tougher to play than you'd think. So well said. We have 57 seconds left. Let's finish off Jump here.
Thank you.
I love that part that Al does.
Yeah.
Throws that in there.
I think it's really important to note that the fade to jump is in what tune by Sammy of Van Halen?
Top of the World.
Yes. Yes.
And it's also played at the end of Dancing the Night Away in the US Festival.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
I always love Eddie's guitar part at the end of that, as it kind of just grows a little bit, just kind of a reminder. It's like, yeah, you know, it's not all keyboards, you know.
Like,
it's
I'm still here.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's just sparse enough to keep the song riding along too, right?
Right.
Trivia time. What song did it take over to become number one?
Beat It or Thriller?
Nope. Spent 5 weeks at number one. Didn't start off that way. It was like number 47 when it started in late December. And then when the video hit, went to number one. Give up?
Yeah.
Was it a Madonna song? Was Madonna?
Well, no, but this is a band who had a lot of hit singles in the
80s. Oh, wait. Was it Duran Duran?
Nope.
Damn. Was it Toto?
Nope.
I just read this. I should know this.
Not Foreigner.
Nope.
Yeah. Whitney Houston, Tom asks.
Whitney Houston, nope. I think this is pre-Whitney, right? Whitney came out in 86, right?
Guess for Madonna, guess for
Madonna,
Billie
no,
Jean.
Billie Jean, no. Think, give a clue. The lead singer was part of Do They Know It's Christmas in the one of the early
Culture verses. Club?
Wham?
Yes, Culture Club.
So Do You Really Want to Hurt Me?
Nope.
Karma Chameleon.
Oh, wow.
Interesting.
Okay, so I have a random question. I should know this, but I don't. You know how in the Just a Gigolo video, how Dave is lampooning every pop star of the moment? The Boy George person looks exactly like Boy George. Is that Boy George?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think it is either. I agree with you. The person looks very similar, but I don't think it is. Yeah.
Because everyone else is cartoonish and you go, ha, good right. parody.
Yeah.
It does look
and then
like,
you look at the Boy George and go, that might be him.
Yeah.
He was drunk a lot during that time period. He might have just ambled onto the set for all we know really legitimately got thrown out. But, you know, because it is pretty close.
Yeah.
He was on the next soundstage shooting the A-Team.
I have a friend who made it one of their New Year's resolutions to watch every old episode of the A-Team. And supposedly there's incredible cameos, not just Boy George.
I'll check that out. Wait, was that me that said that?
This is the one song that Sammy said was just like undeniable from a Sammy standpoint. You know, he never was a fan of Dave, but he always loved Ed, obviously. But this was that one song he was like, damn, if I could write a song like that.
Well, I tell you, we got a couple of requests and people asked if you spin a Dave song that Sammy has played, will you play a little snippet of that for a little compare and contrast? So I have live right here, right now, queued up, and Sammy's version of Jump. Should we listen to a little bit of it?
Yeah,
let's do it.
All right. This is for you.
It's for you.
Through to the chorus here.
this one little part. See, Mikey, what's up?
How the fuck you been?
Didn't he cut that in the studio that he talked about in his book, that it wasn't really a live album and the tapes didn't come out well, so he re-sang the whole thing in the studio?
Yeah, that is correct. Yeah. Yes.
Okay, yeah. So Fresno was the made-up city for...
That's got to be, though, from the actual tape. That, because that's got to be. I can't imagine he's making that up. Well, Scott's Mikey saying.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, how the fuck you been? Scott's wondering, is that up a couple of steps?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a,
Kevin
that's
says,
a
great vocals. Who is that?
It's definitely up in a higher key.
Yeah.
All right, Kevin. Penalty on Kevin, even though he's not playing the game. Instigating. <Uh-oh>. Instigating.
Instigating. that's you're in the box for two, Kevin Brown.
I'm not going to, never mind. Okay. So there's Jump. We all know it. Everyone knows it. Even if you're not familiar with Van Halen's catalog, as we've learned from people in the chat, people know that song. It's their most famous song. So, I guess, do I even have to ask individually, but I guess, yeah, sure. Why not? We'll start with Steven. This is how it works. What dreams are made of, or is the dream over for Jump?
What all your 80s pop rock dreams are made of. It's a classic. It's forever will be.
Well, there you go. There you go. All right. Darren Palchowicz, what say you? Yay or nay on Jump?
Oh, yay. I don't need to hear it again.
I'm playing it again, goddammit.
No, Jump.
Oh.
I don't need to hear Jump again, but yay.
All right. So now we... Shocker. The TLR cast votes yay. Now we go to the other end of the spectrum here. We'll start with Darren Bristow. Is Jump what dreams are made of for you, or was it just so overplayed and you're done with it?
But I do have a caveat.
Yes.
Ooh. I think, because we've all heard the song bajillions of times, and of course it just sounds like Dave's song because you've heard it with his voice in it first. Sammy's version, I have to say, is pretty awesome, man. I mean, I know it's biased, but I mean, he sounds pretty good, especially there's a part there midway through where he kind of just sails through his voice.
Throwing the flag. Going, right? So,
I like it.
Hold it.
Oh boy. That's a 10-yard penalty.
There's the flag right there.
No, you're right. Sammy sings it great. When he wanted to sing it, when he wasn't put the mic into the audience, like, hey, you sing it.
Yeah, there's a few lines in his version. Yeah.
You
want to
fucking
just
sing? You sing.
Yeah. I mean, it happens. Brent, what say you? Yay or nay?
Undeniably, Roth.
All right. There you are. Okay.
It's also very and, much like karaoke believe... dreams are made of.
Absolutely.
And I think we can just go ahead and sweep the rest. On the count of three, Corey, Eric, me, 1, 2, 3.
Thumbs up. Touchdown, 2-point conversion to win the Super Bowl.
You heard the ref.
And the 2-pointer, wow.
Yeah. Final thoughts, final words about Jump, Eric.
It's perfect pop rock song. I know the old time fans don't like it because it's got keyboards, but man, that is just Ed's brilliance right there. It's downright Nocturnal Emission. I just love that was Ed's moment to shine, that he was fighting for even during Fair Warning album. He had this, you know, go into the studio in the middle of the night with Don Landy and do all that stuff. And this was his moment. And he called the 5150 studios. People thought he was crazy. He was right. He was right. Came up with songs like this. And the funny thing is that Dave didn't want to have keyboards. And number one, for the rest of his career, he would finish every show with Jump. And then he has Skyscraper, which has keyboards on it. So, you know, he came around to it.
Oh, and Eat Him and Smile.
Yeah.
Every song on Eat Him and Smile has keyboards.
Going crazy. Yes, you're right. Going crazy. Heavy on the keyboards. You're right. But in his defense, it was just him and Ted Templeman are thinking image. They're thinking this is not what people want. And, you know, but at that point, I was just like, take it or leave it. And he won.
Yep, he won. So, Corey, final words on Jump?
It's a classic. Love it. Love everything about it. Alex killed it. To me, Alex is the star of that song as much as Eddie's great. And, you know, David sings it well and Sammy sings it even better. Hopefully I don't get a flag on that on the live version. But Alex, as a drum fan, love what he did on that. And I know Kevin alluded to rock critics who call Alex Van Halen just an average drummer. You know, they had a very average rhythm section. You're like, what fucking band are you listening to? Because that's not true. But it's time to play one of my favorite games here. How many times did Van Halen perform Jump in their career? Again, this is Price is Right rules. You have to get closest to the actual number without going over it, because Eric moaned. We're going to start with him. Eric,
wow,
how many times did Van Halen play Jump?
Oh, Jesus. You got that's counting the Gary era. Jesus. Okay, I'm going to say...
two-hour show.
I'm going to go with 1,500.
1,500. All right. Darren, Bristow, let's go with you.
I'll do 1,750.
1,750. What? All right. Stephen Roth.
Man, I would say we're getting pretty close to, I'd say about 700 or 800 times. I'm trying to figure out how often they were touring when things were kind of bad, you know, but there was never a show after. I don't think there was. There couldn't have been a show after that song came out where they didn't play it, right? So I'd say 750.
750. All right, Brent.
It's the 9 degrees of Sammy Hagar. 900 times. 900
times. Very good. Darren Paltrowitz.
I'm going to say Van Halen did not tour as much as you think they did, and 500 at most.
500 at most. Mark Meyer.
Okay.
And even 1,000.
1,000. I can tell you right now, Darren Paltrowitz with 500 is the closest. 683 times.
Wow.
683. You know what? You know what probably pulled the number down is because Sammy, I'm trying to think on the 5150 tour, did they play it every night?
I don't know if they played it.
They played it at all. I'm trying to remember on the 5150 tour.
They were doing Robert Palmer and Led Zeppelin in that.
Right.
Right. That's right.
They did Ain't Talking About Love. They did
Panama.
Panama.
And Robert Palmer.
right.
Who I love Robert
Irresistible.
Palmer.
And it sounds cool.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's a low, that's a lot lower than I thought. Wow. Okay.
I forgot about that 5150 tour. That's 175 shows and whatnot, right? Taken out, right? There, yeah.
Yep. That's still a lot of times to do the same song. So hats off to them. Hats off to any band with the longevity in their career of which they're playing the same songs over and over again.
See, I'm sorry. I'm just looking here. The average set list for 5150 tour. You really got me. Only One Way to Rock, Summer Nights, Get Up, Drum Solo, Dreams, 5150, Bass Solo, Panama, Best of Both Worlds, Love Walks In, Good Enough, Guitar Solo, 55, Ain't Talking About. And then for the encore, Why Can't This Be Love? Jump. And Rock and Roll.
There you go.
Average. But I don't know.
Yeah, because he would hand off the mic to someone in the audience to do it, though, right?
Yeah. You know what? Because I'm just always thinking of Live Without a Net. It's not on there. But they cut out a lot of songs off that.
Well, my final thoughts on Jump is the word is iconic. This is their most iconic. It is an iconic song in the state of rock and roll, in the state of music. Everyone has their moments of glory, with the exception of Michael. He's not doing a ton of stuff in there, but he's at least holding down rhythm with Alex. So, you know, more love to him for that. What else can you possibly say about Jump? It's the song everyone knows. You hear the name Van Halen, you think of Jump. Typically, the average fan, I'd say, would think of Jump immediately. There's a reason for that. So say what you want about Eddie Van Halen's keyboarding that he would do in the career following 1984, but their biggest song ever was very keyboard heavy, as we've heard. So take the good with the bad or whatever. That's Jump. That is our first song. That is the David Lee Roth portion of this show. So there you go. That'll end part one of this live show, Sammy versus Dave, of with the Bogus Oda Show boys and the DLR cast show. That is us doing it for round one. We're gonna hit up round two, so if you're live with us, stick around, and if you're listening to us on the podcast, we are, and the podcast will rock, and we will rock you later.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code Program.